be in church this morning, but we had a great dedication of Arnu, the Jager, Jan Willem and Anel, their little boy, was dedicated. I know they are actually from the Wimbledon congregation, but because they had so many family came to support them and to be part of that day, they asked me to dedicate their child in Weybridge. So we were in Weybridge and hence many of the Wimbledon crowd. So, but it's good to have you here. Just to make a few announcements. I know it was announced, but if you're a lady, this is applicable to you. If you're a gentleman, please pass this on to a lady. I want to share the same message that I did this morning at the dedication, even though I really want to share God's heart concerning His desire and His expectation for a godly offspring. So this evening I want us to have that in our hearts as we continue. Let us just pray. Father, we thank You for this day. God, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You for Your goodness. And God, we thank You that Your love endures forever. God, thank You that You've given Your Son as an expression of that love, God, that we may see and know that You love us. God, I pray that as we are here together because of that love, that You will speak to us through Your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's what I wanted to say. The Wimbledon Fair is coming up once again soon in the middle of July. It would be the 19th of June. Did the announcements, the small group announcements, say anything about Wednesday? This Wednesday?
Fast.
Are we fasting this Wednesday? Yes, we're fasting this Wednesday for the school. And what else are we doing this Wednesday? How many Wednesdays do we have left before the fair? Two. Right. The announcements were supposed to also invite you to please come and help us on Wednesday. But now, obviously, that didn't happen, so ignore what I'm saying. Otherwise, there's going to be confusion. Don't worry. We'll do it next Wednesday. Good. Great. One of the verses that I always read during a dedication is found in Malachi chapter 2 that speaks Malachi chapter 2 actually in context speaks about many things, and it actually also speaks about God's feeling concerning divorce, etc. But here in Malachi chapter 2 verse 15, it also speaks about one of the great mysteries of creation. The fact that man and woman become one flesh before God. The mystery. And God speaks here in Malachi chapter 2, chapter verse 15. He says, "Has not the Lord made them one flesh, or made them one? In flesh and spirit they are His. They are one. And why one? Because He was seeking a godly offspring." Now, you know, when you read Scripture, you know, Scripture always interprets Scriptures, and of course, the obvious is what you first follow. What is God saying obviously to you? And then, of course, there is a deeper significance many times in what God is saying. For instance, we know when God speaks of the fact that man and woman come together to become one flesh, it speaks of a mystery. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, if you read it, Ephesians chapter 5, it speaks about this great mystery, and it likens us to the spiritual significance beyond the natural. The fact that the one and the mystery of the two becoming one is a reflection of Christ and the church, right? And it speaks about marriage in the context of that, how the husband ought to love the wife, how the wife ought to love the husband. And it all speaks, actually, is a reflection of the greater reality, which is the love of God for the church and the church for Christ. You understand what I mean? So here too we find this obvious expression, but within it there is it's loaded with greater meaning and significance. So I want to look this evening at what God is saying to us, not just through the obvious, but through eternity. Now, it refers to the fact here where it says that has not God made them one in spirit and in flesh, they are His. And why one? Because He was seeking a godly offspring. It refers, of course, here to Genesis chapter 1. And I think we even have it there. Genesis chapter 1 from verse 27 to 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female, he created them. And then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Now, isn't that a great commandment? Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. I always laugh when people say that the world is overpopulated. Okay, don't worry about that. It's one of those bad jokes. But nevertheless, when you look at creation, God created the entire universe in 6 days. Everything in it. And on the sixth day, at the end, he created man, male and female. Okay, as a summary. Humanity, man was the pinnacle of creation. It was the crown of everything. That was the cherry on the cake. God created everything good, and then he thought, listen here, let us create man in our image and our likeness. As we observe everything that we've done, how great and how wonderful that is, let us make man in our own image and our own likeness with the capacity to relate to us and to be like us in the sense of choice, free will, in the sense of authority, in the sense of dominion, in the sense of relationship. In the sense of, let us just give him charge over everything that we have done. And he created man. And when he finished man, it was not just good. It was very good. You know, the eternal understatement. You know, God was excited. God was excited after he created man. You know, he was excited to see the likeness and the image of himself within man. And he was very excited. And this morning I just shared about the whole concept that God was saying, you know what, man, I love you, man. I love you, Adam. I love you, Eve. I like it. I like what I see. I'm excited about this. As a matter of fact, I want you just to go and to multiply. I want you to reproduce yourself. I want you to fill the earth. I want you to go and express yourself. Just multiply. Because you know what I see? I really like what I see. And I want you just to go out there and reproduce yourself. Multiply. Become more. Because God has an expectation. God has a heart. God has a desire. God is excited about every person that is coming to Him. This morning I was sharing about Jan Willem and Anel. And I was saying, you know what? God is excited about Jan Willem. God is excited about Anel. You know why? Because they belong to Him. They are His children. And we'll get to that. He's excited about the day they were married. That's what Malachi 2 was all about. The fact that God was present. He was a witness at that union, at that covenant that God made, that was made between them and Himself. And He's excited. He has an expectation of them coming together as His children for a godly offspring. He's excited to see them coming together to multiply. But we are not now speaking of the physical only. He's excited, of course, of this little Arno that was there this morning. He's excited about this day of dedication where they, as His children, come before Him and say, God, we thank You for this great and awesome gift. God, we dedicate this gift to You. We commit ourselves to train Him in the way and in Your ways, God. You know, God is excited about all this. But there's something far greater. It is a reflection of something far more greater than just the natural. God not just wants us to reproduce and have 25 kids. Okay? So relax. But God has an expectation for His family to increase. For His legacy to increase. For His heritage to increase. And that is what we find here. In Psalm 127, verse 3 to 5, we read, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. I want to say, God is excited about you. God is excited about you. Because if you read this portion of Scripture from God's perspective, And God is saying, my heart, I have an expectation of a godly offspring. I have an expectation for children. And he's not talking about babies. He's talking about those who are born again into the kingdom of God. He's not talking about the fact that you are born naturally into the kingdom of God. He's talking about the eternal children of God. You and I who are sitting here today. God has an expectation and excitement to have an heritage. He's saying children is an heritage. It's inheritance. You and I are called the children of God. God is excited about each one of you, what you represent. God is excited about you. You are God's heritage. You are God's inheritance. And we will get to that. But that is the picture that I want to start off with. You know, God expressed Himself through imagery and through a culture and through a language and through a time period, through history, to reveal more of Himself to us. And God chose the way and the nation through which He revealed Himself. You know, so that we are able to relate to what He's speaking about. So for instance, when God says that He is our Father, as humans, we have an understanding of fatherhood, what a father is. And when God speaks about Him being our Father, we should have an understanding of what He's trying to say. He's trying to say, but listen here, you belong to Me. I'm the one who gave you birth. I'm the one who gave you life. There is nothing that can separate you from Me. I love you because you are Mine. If you follow what I mean. Obviously, today, in the world that we live, some of us had not so good fathers. So sometimes the imagery of father is not a positive one. But if you look from a biblical context, how God's desire is for men to father their kids. You understand what I mean? God expresses Himself in imagery that we can understand. He gave us the capacity to know and to relate to Him. You know, when God created us in His image and His likeness, He gave us free will. Why did God give us free will? Because God is love. Scripture says God is love. And love without choice is not love. If you don't choose to love, it's not love. Then it's instinct. God does not love you because He has to. God loves you because He wants to. And He has given you the capacity to do exactly the same thing so that you have an understanding that God is not loving you because He's compelled to or that He has a need to, but that He wants to. So God has given us certain facets of our nature, of our being, with an understanding so that we can know who God is. So God created us also with the capacity to reproduce of ourselves, so that we can have an understanding of what He feels when He creates, and how He feels when He reproduces, and how He feels about His children. You know, you can see that with Jan Willem and Anel. You know, they're so excited about this little child. They're so excited about, this little being, and that this child is different to all the other children. I mean, they love children, but I mean, this child is special. Why is Arno so special to them? Because this is theirs. You know, it's flesh of their flesh and bone of their bones. It is something that was reproduced by them. It has their likeness. And you'll see even now, the poor baby is not even a year old, and they're already, saying, he looks like Jan Willem. No, he looks more like Anel. You know, they're looking for the likeness. You know, to whom does he look like? You know, to whom... what is the characteristics that we identify in him that reflects us? You know, where's the likeness? Even in the dedication, they were talking about his personality, and I'm thinking, you have real faith, but that is so encouraging. You see the grandparents there and their excitement, and they're saying, no, it's not at the Yacher, and they're looking at the hair and the eyes and the nose, and they're trying to figure out in whose likeness is that. You know what? We were giving that capacity and the wonderful miracle of that so that we can experience something about God's heart. When God says He has an expectation for a godly offspring, He is speaking to us in terms that we understand. And God is saying that children is His heritage. It's His inheritance. It's His great reward. And you and I sitting here today, those who have embraced God, who are born again, into the kingdom of God, have become the children of God. God has an expectation for children, and you are the children. God is excited about you. I want to start off like that. God is excited about you for who you represent, for who you are, His children, that He can be a father to. So He created us with various facets so that we can understand as He expresses Himself through the Word. You know what? We find, and most of you don't have kids here, but there are some parents around the corner also. But you know what? You find, as you have your own kids, you find so much of yourself reflected in them. A little Danielle, my oldest, you know what? I can see so much of my own personality within her. You know, how she deals with life. And you know, it's sometimes scary to see, but, you know, I'm just like that. You know? And you're sometimes amazed that they can be similar yet different, but yet there's a likeness of yourself within them. The way she deals with frustration, you know, when stuff doesn't work, you know, and I can see, oh man, that's just like I am, you know, but it's exciting. But you can see that there's a likeness within them. You know what? As children of God, we are all transformed into the likeness of the Son by the Holy Spirit. God is excited about us, and He's excited at seeing His likeness reflected in us. And you see that, I mean, in 2 Corinthians, I've preached on this before, so I won't spend too much time on it. But 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." You see, we are being changed into the likeness of Christ. You know, and God gets excited about that. God is excited about each one of you. He's excited about this process of you being changed into the image, into the likeness of Him. In Psalms 127, I've read it before, God says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, inheritance from Him. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them." God is excited about children. He wants lots of them. God is excited about you. And the more He has, the more excited He is. So I want to say God is very excited. And I want you to see also the fact that you are an heritage. You are God's inheritance. Now, if you stop and think about that, that's very profound. But I want to go even further than that and say that you are the most precious possession to God. You are the most precious possession to God. God owns the universe. Everything. You are the pinnacle of creation. And God gave us charge over everything that He created. I mean, as He created the universe, and He was so excited about that, He created us and He gave us charge over everything. God is excited about man. God is excited about you. You are the most precious thing to God. And you know what? When we lost it all, when we ruined it because of the sin and the rebellion and the selfishness in our heart, when we were dead in our trespasses and separated from God, you know what God did? He placed value on your life. He placed a price tag on your life. And He made a bid for it. He placed a bid for your life. And then He paid it in full. And you know what? He bought you, not with silver and gold, not with pounds or with dollars. All the gold and all the silver of the universe could not buy you back, except the most precious being in the universe, His only Son. And God was willing to pay that price in full. There is nothing more precious to God than your life. God has placed a price tag on your life. He has made a bid for your life, and He paid it in full. I want to declare to you today, you are the most expensive item in the universe. There is nothing more valuable than your life. There is nothing more expensive than your life. And God not just made a bid on it. He paid it in full. It came off his PayPal account. Direct from his bank account. Paid in full. It's gone. Sold. Done. You are the most precious item in the universe. Not because I say so, because God has already paid for you. There is nothing more precious to God than your life. Because he was willing to give everything for it. You are his inheritance. You are his heritage. You belong to him. You are precious to him. In 1 Peter 1 verse 18 to 22 we read the following. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believed in God, who raised him from the dead and gave glory to him, so that your faith and hope are in God. Yes, there are more significance to the sacrifice of Christ and why he had to die and the blood of Christ. But I want to declare to you that there is nothing more precious than the sacrifice that God made. There's nothing more expensive than your life. And God was willing to pay that. God was willing to pay everything for you. You are the most precious possession to God. You are the most expensive item in the universe. Don't allow the world to determine your worth. Don't allow man to place worth in your life. Don't allow society or culture or people place worth in your life. Because God has already placed worth in your life. God has already determined your worth to him. And he has paid for it. So don't allow the opinions of man to shape your worth. Don't allow what others say of you. Allow them to influence how you value yourself. But allow God to determine your identity. Allow God to determine your worth. Because I want to declare to you today, and I'm going to say it over and over again, that you never forget this. You are the most expensive item in the universe. You are the most valuable, the most precious possession of God, because he paid everything for you. And it wasn't bought with silver and gold. My friends. It was bought with the blood of his life. The life of his son. You are precious to God. You are in his inheritance. You are his heritage. Don't allow, no matter what man or culture or society may label you, God has placed value on your life. I normally don't do this, but I want you to turn to the person next to you. And say that you are the most expensive item in the universe. Don't do that. Because it's true. It's true. Never before, never again will anything be so expensive as your life. Now that you have confessed it, I want you to ask the person next to you their autograph. Do you know how much they are worth? Don't allow man to determine your worth. Don't allow what people say or think place value on your life. Because God has already placed value on your life. God has already placed a price tag on you. And He has already made the bid. And He has already paid the price in full. There is nothing more precious to God than you. Do you know that as a believer, those who are in Christ, that there is nothing that can separate you from God? As a believer, as a child of God, as those who are in Christ, there is nothing that can separate you from God. There is nothing that can separate you from His love. You know why? What is the thing that separated man from God? What is the only thing that separates man from God, for that matter? Sin. What did God do in relation to sin? To your sin? He sent His Son to deal with your sin. Once and for all. The thing that separated you from God was your sin. The sin, the thing that separated me from God is my sin. And therefore God sent His Son to deal with my sin. To deal with your sin. So that there is nothing anymore that can separate you from Him. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God as you are in Christ. Because He has removed it. He has placed that sin, the thing that hinders, the thing that prevents, the thing that is a barrier between you and God. He has taken that sin and He's placed it on His Son and He has judged Him. He condemned Him. He punished Him. Once and for all. So that you and I can be free to come to God. So that there will never again be anything that can separate us from His love. That is the gospel. I want to declare to you, God not just dealt with the sin that you have committed, God even dealt with all the sin that you're going to commit. Because as we read earlier, God foreordained Christ before the beginning of the world to become a sacrifice. Even before the sin of Adam, God knew about all my sin. Even before the creation of the world, God knew about all your sin. And He had a conversation with His Son. 2,000 years ago, Christ died on the cross. And all my sin that I was still going to commit 2,000 years later, He placed on His Son. All your sin was placed on Him 2,000 years ago. Even the things that you are still going to do, because the very fact that you are here today is a reflection of the fact that He foreknew all your sin. And He placed it on His Son once and for all. And He dealt with Him. He rejected Him. He turned His back on Him. He condemned Him. He punished Him. Once and for all. So that the very thing that keeps you from God is taken away. So that there are no longer anything that keeps you from God. So I want to declare to you, you are not just the most precious thing to God. I want to declare to you that there is nothing that can separate you from God in Christ Jesus. And I don't have time to continue to explain what it means in Christ. I've preached so many sermons on that. What it means to be in Christ and to remain in Christ. To have faith in Him, to trust Him, to follow Him. But while you're in Christ, I want to declare to you there is nothing that can separate you from God. He has dealt with it already through His Son. You are the most precious thing to Him. You are in His inheritance. His inheritance. Let's turn to Romans 8. There's not enough space on the board. But Romans 8, verse 38 says the following. Paul reflects on this. He says, "For I am persuaded." Sorry, are you there? Romans 8. How things have changed. PDAs and iPads and iPods. Not so long ago, there was a Pastor Fred. Pastor Fred was here, and he was preaching, and there was a lady at the back with a Nokia, the flip-top keyboard little thing, and she was typing the notes of Fred's sermon. As Fred was speaking, she was typing, and I was standing in behind her at the end, so I could see she was making notes. And Fred was standing, and he was thinking, you know what? You know, the altar call was so powerful because she even stopped writing her emails and she started looking at me. Meanwhile, she was making notes. But anyway, we're from a different generation. We're not used to these shiny Bibles. But anyway. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. There is nothing that can separate. As a matter of fact, if you start early in verse 31, it says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? For he did not spare his own son, but delivered him us for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who hath died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, for we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our God. In the first verse in chapter 8, it says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because you already condemned him for our sakes. For those who are in Christ Jesus, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. And the reason why I'm belaboring this point is because the devil will come to you and he will accuse you and he will bring guilt in you and he will say that you are not worthy and that God is rejecting you and God is condemning you. And that is a lie. That is the very purpose that he sent his son. So that we can come to him without fear. Because of the price that has already been paid. Isn't that amazing? Isn't God's love amazing? I mean, we can continue on this forever. If you have something to meditate on this. You can meditate on this for a week, a month. If this is the only thing that you meditate on, is this very thing that you are the most expensive item in the universe. You are the most expensive item in the universe. God has placed value on your life and He's paid it in full. And that there is nothing, as you remain in that relationship with Him, that can separate you from Him. Because He has already paid for everything in full. God is excited about you. God is excited about your life. Because you are His inheritance. You are His heritage. You are His children. Once and for all, it was dealt with. I skipped the page, but nevertheless, just to belabor the point, Romans 6, verse 10 to 11. I want us to quickly turn there. No, I actually have it on the board. You see, my child played with my notes. Little rascal. Romans 6, verse 10 to 11, it says, for the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Once and for all. In Hebrews 9, verse 11 to 15, but Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and the more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkled the unclean, sanctified for purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleansing your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Once and for all. In Hebrews, later on, chapter 10, he says, but that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once and for all. I want to declare to you that once and for all, God died for your sin to remove everything that hinders you from God so that you can come into His presence without fear. Once and for all, it's taken away with. For those who remain in Him, for those who continue in a relationship with Him, who have faith in Him, who trust in Him, who follow Him, you know what? There is nothing that can separate you from God. Once and for all, it's been dealt with. It's not a license for sin. That's Romans 6. I've preached a lot on that also. That's what Romans 6 talks about. It doesn't mean that you can now continue to sin because of this great... No, not at all. It doesn't mean you cannot lose your salvation. No, I'm not saying that either. What I am saying to you is that those who are in Christ are not... There is nothing that can separate you from God. If you come to God and you say, God, I thank you for the gift. I thank you for your sacrifice. God, I choose to put my faith and trust in you and follow you. There is nothing that can separate you from God. Nothing. Because he's dealt with it once and for all. Do you see that? Do you see that God values you more than anything? Do you see that God has an expectation of you and for you? God has an expectation for an offspring. That's why Christ, the only begotten Son, came into the world so that he can become the firstborn of many brethren. Romans 8 further on. I think I even have the slide. Next one. Romans 8, verse 28 to 29. For we know that all things work together for the good for those who God loves, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he may be the firstborn among many brethren. Isn't that amazing? It blows my mind, the purposes of God, and you are the purposes of God. God has an expectation of a godly offspring. He has an expectation of children. He wants an heritage. You are God's inheritance. You know what? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, because he saw the day when all of us are standing before God and God is excited. God is glorifying. You are the most precious thing in the kingdom of God, and God was not afraid to die. He was willing to face the cross, despise the shame for you. For this great day of an inheritance, of a legacy of God. God is excited about your life. God is excited about every step that you take. God is excited about every time you spend with Him. God is excited about every change that takes place within you. As you are being transformed in the likeness of His Son, God gets excited. And then in Psalms, when we read that He says that, you know what? It's like arrows in the quiver of a great warrior. In the bow. And God is saying, you know what? I'm not just excited to be. I want you to go and multiply. I want you to go into the world and reproduce. I want you to make more of yourselves. I want you to expand. I want you to fill the earth. I want you to go. Share the great news. Share the life. Share the revelation. Be midwives. Be evangelists. Be carers. But get people saved because I have an expectation. You understand God's heart? You are God's children. There is nothing more precious to God than your life. There's nothing that makes God more excited about your life. There's nothing more exciting to God to see how you become more like His Son. There's nothing more exciting to God to see as you step out in faith. There's nothing more exciting to God to see how you just love Him and grow in your understanding and revelation of Him. God loves you. God is excited about you. And there is nothing that can separate you. I want to say that again because the devil will come and accuse you. Don't believe the lie. Yes, there is a place of discipline.